The 2006 ASCO meeting continued the recent trend for increasing clinical research on the fascinating topics of predictors of response to TKIs, as commented on by Dr. Lynch.
Where are we now with molecular profiling in EGFR TKI therapy? And I think that we have six or seven candidate markers at this point. I think that the burden exists to show that any one molecular predictive factor will be better than clinical characteristics. If one looks at the trial that Vince Miller and Passiani are doing, looking at never smokers, I think we have a pretty high threshold to show that mutations or gene amplification or FISH positivity or IHC or proteomics will be better than just selecting never smokers for treatment with TKIs. If you look across multiple studies, there's pretty widespread agreement that never smokers, adenocarcinoma, women, and Asians are the groups that do best with TKI therapy. And will any molecular test prove superior? And let's first comment on mutations. I think that we at ASCO this year have come to an understanding that TK mutations are prognostic for improved survival independent of treatment. Patients with mutations do better almost regardless of what treatment they get. Exon 19 deletions are associated with improved response and survival compared to other activating mutations. I think that's pretty clear now that this is a more favorable mutation to have. Exon 20 mutations are often predictive of resistance to TKI, particularly in preclinical modeling. Some of the difficulty, and interesting what Mark and Vince think about this, some of the difficulty in doing studies now is that many of the more recent trials have just looked at exon 19 and exon 21 in terms of eligibility. So the PAS or RES trial from Spain only looked at 19 and 21, and so they didn't look at exon 20. Much of our feeling about resistance on exon 20 mutations comes from preclinical modeling systems of William Pao and Matt Meyerson that have looked at that. So curious what these will mean clinically. And then what we're beginning to learn now is that about 90 to 95% of all these mutations are either going to be exon 19 deletions or exon 21 point mutations. So can we use this information to select patients up front for therapy? We have done that at Mass General Dana-Farber in actually a North American study that Alicia Sequist is heading. We are doing full sequencing of 18 to 24 at 10 North American sites. We have screened 80 patients with stage 4 disease up front. 20 mutation-positive patients have been under treatment. The goal is for 30 patients, and the goal is for a response rate of greater than 65%. This year at ASCO, we saw the Spanish target study. Interestingly, both our group and the group from Spain chose the same name for the study. And this was the PASA-RES study. They screened 1,047 patients for exon 19 deletions and exon 21 point mutations. They found a mutation rate of 15.1%. The overall response rate was 82%. Exon 19 deletions, it was 95%. 21, it was 67%. Time to progression, 13 months. 1 year overall survival, 82%. Really very impressive data that you can use selection of patients by mutations to get very, very nice first-line data. What about FISH? FISH is obviously important as a way of predicting for better outcome. We know the data from Canada, which looked at low copy number versus high copy number. Patients with high copy number for second and third line lung cancer clearly had a better outcome in terms of survival. What's interesting is that unlike the Herceptin story, what we're looking at here is not usually gene amplification, but actually high polysomy, which is probably biologically different than gene amplification. Now, from ASCO this year, we have the OncoBell study, which looked at never smokers and or FISH-positive patients pretreated with chemo or not, candidates for chemotherapy treated with gefitinib. This was presented by the group from Italy. 42 patients, response rate. If you were FISH-positive, response rate was 68% versus 9%. If you're FISH-negative, if you're mutation-positive, 58% versus 27%. The numbers in the group was a little bit more heterogeneous than the PASA-RES study. However, it did show that you could select patients by FISH as well and select a group of patients up front that would have a better outcome than patients otherwise.
How often does FISH go with mutation positivity?
Often. If you're looking at true amplification, gene amplification doesn't necessarily correlate with mutation status. But if you look at the high polysomy, very often they correlate together. In most studies, it's about two-thirds are overlap. So you may well be looking, and that's a very good point, Roy, we may well be looking at the same group of patients in many of these circumstances. And then finally, a third marker of a tumor which is dependent upon EGFR is protein expression. And protein expression, I think, is also something which will be important for selecting patients for therapy, particularly maybe even in the adjuvant study. I want to give one more point why I think that mutation analysis might be very important, and that's the concept of resistance. Again, work at Memorial, work at Harvard, work at other centers around the country have shown that resistance can often be predicted by the type of mutation. And this is Dr. Kobayashi's New England Journal of Medicine paper from February of last year, where they described the T790 mutation. Now, why is the T790 mutation important? It's important because it may actually predict for different TKIs that might work in that setting. Just a couple of conclusions. I think EGFR mutations clearly predict for clinical benefit. I think they'll be useful in choosing agents in the setting of resistance, both primary and acquired. I also think it will be the best way to select patients for first-line therapy. Most importantly, mutations help explain the biology. When I push the FISH crowd on what does FISH mean, what does FISH tell us about the biology of cancer, it's kind of hard to explain exactly what's happening there. EGFR gene copy number, I think, is likely the best measure for predicting survival in second and third line patients, because I think what it does, it takes the 40% of patients who've got tumors that are EGFR driven, and that tells you the group of patients who are going to do best in second and third line. So I think gene copy number in FISH clearly has a role in terms of how we're looking at patients. But unlike HER2 amplification, FISH is really looking at high polysomy. And I think more work is needed on trying to understand what the biologic implications of this are. And it doesn't give you that same window on resistance.